podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
It is 98FM's Dublin Talks with Jeremy Dixon here for a Wednesday morning. Now, Ireland is preparing to go to the polls on Friday. And we will be asked, amongst other things, whether or not we want to change the current legislation regarding the regulation of divorce. And it's an issue that divides a lot of people. Back in 1995, of course, there was a referendum on divorce and it was passed by just under 10,000 votes. So the country was fairly split back in 1995 on whether or not divorce was a good thing to come into Ireland or not. Anyway, it did. But now the issue is about the waiting time that is granted to people who are looking for a divorce. And that's what we will be voting on Friday, the proposed changes. Regarding, the first proposal is regarding the length of time that people will have lived apart before they can be granted divorce. So currently, spouses must be living apart for 4 of the past 5 years to be eligible for divorce. And we are being asked whether or not we want to remove that or not. Now, from talking to people on the show in the past who are separated and are waiting for a divorce, one of the things that they say is that the long waiting time in which to get a divorce is quite restrictive and that they can't move on in their lives. So picture a couple, Tom and Anne, and Tom and Anne's marriage breaks down and they just want to be apart. They have to be still married for 4 of the 5 years afterwards before they can be granted a divorce, which means they're kind of in limbo. They can't move on with their life. They can't meet somebody. Well, they can meet somebody else, but they have to tell that person that they are still married. I'm sorry, I'm still married to my wife or to my husband. So we decided to get both sides of the argument on the show today. But I also want to hear from you on 6797981. Or you can text or WhatsApp your comments to 0877 98 98 98. 0877 98 98 98. Will you be looking for a change in our divorce laws this coming Friday? Do you think we need to get rid of this from the Constitution where a couple must be living apart for 4 years before they can be granted a divorce? Is that no longer practical? If you are somebody who has gone through a divorce, if you're somebody who's separated, maybe you're going through one at the moment, I'd love to hear from you about how restrictive our current laws are, or maybe they're not restrictive at all. 6797981 is our telephone number. Text or WhatsApp your comments, 0877 98 98 98. And let's be clear here, nobody is looking, and this isn't what it's about on Friday, quickie divorces. But we're never going to have a situation where, you know, you can decide that your marriage is over on a Friday and be divorced by a Monday. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting rid of that 4-year cooling off period. I'd love to hear from you. 6797981. Text or WhatsApp your comments, 0877 98 98 98. Now, first of all, joining us on the line is Margaret Hickey from the group Mothers and Fathers Matter. And she is campaigning for people to vote no on Friday. And she joins us on the line now. First of all, Margaret, tell me, what does your group stand for?
Well, that was a group that was started up during the marriage campaign back in 2015. And it just made the argument for the importance of a mother and father in the life of a child.
Why are you asking for people to vote no in Friday's referendum?
I'm asking people to vote no because I think any liberalisation, from all the evidence I've seen it from my own observation of marriage and family life, I think any liberalisation of divorce leads to further weakening of a family with great detrimental impact on the lives of children, of the social order itself. As I say, I believe lawyers have led this debate, and I think because of that, the focus has been very much away from children. I would like to say that this term, family lawyer, is a misnomer. You're actually talking about divorce lawyers. That's how they'd be styled in America, because typically a lawyer, in the case of marriage breakdown, deals with one spouse. That one spouse is a client, and the family has already collapsed. So speaking of family lawyer is just misleading. I think that we should look more at the impact of divorce and unhappy marriages on children. and what it actually means for the child. The testimony of child psychologists, I'm talking about international child psychologists, they have written extensively and studied marriage and family breakdown extensively, and their conclusions are quite in line actually with our own Maureen Gaffney, who wrote in the Irish Times recently that unhappy marriages and the distress they bring children are absolutely devastating, and that if this unhappiness was caused by anything else other than marriage breakdown, there'd be public uproar if it wasn't taken up as a major, serious public health issue.
Okay, under the current laws, a couple applying for divorce, they have to live apart from their spouse for a minimum of 4 out of 5 years. And that was obviously put in place as a sort of a cooling off period to give a couple a chance to try and work things out. If a marriage has broken down, consider a couple where, their marriage is broken down and there's no reconciliation. Is it not very unfair to keep them in that relationship legally for 4 years when they want to move on with their lives?
Well, I think if you look at fairness across the board here, it may not be fair as one spouse may see it, but marriage is a very serious commitment and there are many stages on the way to complete dissolution of the marriage. The earlier stage of separation deals with issues of, initially at least, the issues of custody of the children, issues of property, issues around the family home. So all of that can be taken care of long before you get to the point of divorce. So it's not as if they're being trapped in a toxic relationship as some people seem to be presenting. That a lot of the issues can be dealt with, but moving on is something very often it's the choice of one spouse. It may not be the choice of the second spouse, who may be very committed to the marriage, maybe a very reluctant partner in the whole process of the destruction of the implosion of the marriage. The children also, we talk about, and this is where I'd like to bring in Geoffrey Shannon, who's constantly name checked by the government. He seems to have the most extraordinary viewpoint, that is the dragging out of the process. It's the divorce process itself that impacts the children negatively rather than the separation of their parents. And I think the cooling half period, you call it, the 4 years out of the previous 5 years, is a time to maybe evaluate the way the separation is impacting the children, to think again perhaps. It's also a measure of how seriously we regard the commitment of marriage. In law, you can't just put out of a contract, Josepha Madigan keeps repeating the words of an 18th, 19th century English judge who says marriage is voluntary. Sure it is. But like every contract, when you enter into it, it has to be taken seriously.
Sorry, do you believe, Margaret, that couples nowadays are walking away too freely and too easily from marriages?
Yes, as a commitment. I do actually, because if you look again at the research, this guy, a sociologist, Dr. Paul Amato, said that most marriages that collapse in our culture of marriage at the moment are low-conflict marriages. They're marriages where the children are quite unaware there's an issue between the parents. In fact, there may not be an issue as such between the parents. One parent may be oblivious that the other partner has moved on and wants to move on. That is a much more typical scenario than we're being given to believe. That impacts hugely on the children. Moving on into a new relationship is even more of a break with everything they have been, brought up to, everything that has nurtured them over the years with both parents under the same roof, in the same house, or at least in a house that is more than a house, it's a home. So it is really, as I say, that's where I'm coming from in terms of this discussion. And I think it's just unfortunate that it's been led and directed by lawyers who come with a very a niche interest in defending the rights of their own clients. We should have looked at this and discussed this much more, I believe, in terms of what the experts are saying, child experts are saying.
Yeah, but sorry for cutting across you there, but is it not worse for children if they are in a house where the relationship between mommy and daddy is broken down and they are fighting with each other constantly? Surely it's worse for children to be in that kind of toxic situation where the parents aren't getting on, and it would be better for the children if the parents just separated and got a divorce.
I think it would be much better for the children if the parents separated, yes. Separation, organising custody, organising breakup of division of resources, and all this can be done prior to the actual divorce. What the divorce does is allow the parents to move on, and a parent to move on, and that means in plain language, remarry. That is the only difference. That's what divorce brings that judicial separation does not bring with it. And that is, I don't see how that benefits a child.
Okay, finally, Margaret, what happens if it's a majority yes vote this weekend? And, the cooling off period for divorce is cut to what's expected to be 2 years. Do you think this will lead to higher divorce rates in Ireland?
we've come on since we legislated for divorce in 1996. Back in 86, there were 40,000 cases of judicial separation. In 2016, the last census showed that had risen to under, not a great deal under 300,000. We changed the culture of marriage. When you make marriage like cohabitation is far more insecure union than a marriage. The more one merges with the other, well, the more marriage is eroded, and also the more likely family units are to break up.
Margaret Hickey from the group Mothers and Fathers Matter, thanks very much for joining us this morning on 98FM.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
A lot of messages coming in about the points Margaret was making already, and I'll get to your text in a moment. And after the break, we're going to hear from someone who is campaigning for a yes vote, but I want to hear from you. Text or WhatsApp us 0877 98 98 98. Joining us on the line is Dr. Louise Crowley, who's a senior lecturer in family law at University College Cork. And you're very welcome along to the show, Louise.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Louise, why do you think people should vote yes in Friday's referendum?
Jeremy, I feel quite strongly that people should vote yes on Friday. In 1995, we finally introduced divorce, allowing people to recognise through the law the breakdown of their relationship and to have a framework to allow them to do so in a way that would provide for everybody, but equally give them an opportunity to re-establish their lives, perhaps formalise second relationships and protect their children and their former spouses through the law. And so on Friday, what we're trying to do is simply to make that right more accessible for people, to make it real that to recognise that their breakdown didn't start on the day they issued the divorce proceedings, but rather it's probably been going on for a long time. And by continuing the laws that we have, we're simply perpetuating the upset, the sadness and the trauma that's associated with marital breakdown.
From speaking to couples in the past on this show who've gone through this, they found the four-year cooling off period, as it's commonly known, they found it quite restrictive in that they couldn't move on with their lives. They felt in limbo for those 4 years, and there was no reconciliation possible with the relationship, and they wanted to move on, and they found that 4 years just not practical. Is that what you would say, that it's too long of a cooling off period?
Yeah, I mean, you actually nailed it there, Jeremy, because you can't issue proceedings until there's an acceptance that there's no prospect of reconciliation. So at the point of issuing proceedings, that's not only acknowledged by the two spouses, but actually the law demands it. So at that moment, we see that there's no prospect of reconciliation. So there is no benefit to the 4 years. So it's simply, it's almost like a period of punishment whereby you need to endure those added 4 years for no one's benefit, as far as I can see, except perhaps some sort of abstract moral, perhaps older view, that more traditional view when we didn't have divorce, that you know, you had to stick it out. But I think that we've matured as a society and recognise that, you know, sticking out a bad relationship, whether it's simply that you don't get on anymore or perhaps there's violence involved, whatever the circumstances might be, but sticking it out, there's no legal reason for it, and certainly there's no beneficial reason for it.
What do you make of the arguments of the No campaign? In fact, just before you came on air, we were talking to someone from the No side who was saying that it would lead to more divorces and weaken the institution of family in Ireland. And this lady, Margaret Hickey, who we spoke to, she spoke a lot about children and children being damaged by divorce. What would you say to that?
Okay, well, on the first point about weakening marriage, I mean, we heard this back in 1995 when we had the divorce referendum in itself, the idea that it would weaken marriage. Divorce is a remedy that's sought when a marriage is not only weak, but actually it's broken and dead. And so the idea that you could get a divorce and that might entice you to leave your marriage, well, for me, it just doesn't make any sense. Divorce is there to deal with the fallout of the relationship breakdown. And thankfully, the stats can back that up. Ireland remains by far the lowest country for divorce in Europe. So beyond the EU and the geographical broader spread of Europe, 0.6% of every 1,000. I mean, that's an incredibly low stat when you compare it both with Europe and indeed internationally. And so the avalanche that was the fear-mongering that went on in 95, that suggested this very point, that it would lead to that avalanche of divorce applications once the opportunity was there in law. Well, it didn't happen, and there is no reason to suspect that it would happen because we reduced the timeline. Rather, what it will allow is it will allow people to regularise their lives far more quickly. And on the second point about damaging children, I really can't see anything more damaging for a child than being in a family setup where the parties are hostile to each other and that hostility is being dragged out by this added 4-year requirement. How that could benefit a child, I just simply don't understand. And to flip that, if the system is in place, which it is, to allow the parties, in fact, to require the parties to regularise matters, to provide for each other financially, not just in that moment, but into the future, will that allow things to be regularised? And the courts will also require the parties, ideally by agreement, to regularise the custody and access arrangement. So actually what you're doing is you're allowing everybody to recognise the situation, to recognise the breakdown, and also to kind of be grown up enough to resolve, insofar as they can, the access and custody arrangements. And the court will require them to do that before they grant the divorce decree. So actually it's a structure and a framework in my mind that works very positively to empower the parties recognising the breakup and to do what's best for their children.
So this fear that we could have if the yes vote is brought in after the referendum, this notion that we could have quickie divorces and that it will become like America, where you know you can get married on a Friday, get divorced on a Monday, and that we're going to have people having multiple marriages and you know having four divorces in the space of their lifetime, that's scaremongering, according to you.
Absolutely scaremongering. I mean, the same arguments were made in 1995. It didn't transpire. You still need to wait 2 years, and that's 2 years of living apart, which typically follows long after the relationship has broken down. Divorce is never quick, and certainly 2 years remains, you know, still on the very longer end when you compare us with other jurisdictions. And I don't see this as a slippery slope. I mean, you must remember our constitution also has a provision which requires the state to protect the family based on marriage. So that hasn't gone away. So any reduction in the law brought in by the legislature must ensure that it complies with this coexisting obligation to protect the family based on marriage. So I would be quite confident that if, you know, I mean, some of the suggestion is that if we give the power to the legislature, should they could do anything in 5 years' time? Well, they can't do anything because they operate within our broader legal framework, which requires respect for the family based on marriage. So as I see it, any lessening of the timeline will always have to be cognizant of that coexisting obligation. So quickie divorces are a nonsense. You ask any family law practitioner, no divorce is quick. It takes time, it takes reflection, and the courts, you must remember, must always approve the arrangements. You cannot agree a divorce. You cannot agree with your partner the terms of the divorce. The court has the final say, and the court must be satisfied that it's appropriate in the circumstances. And now, of course, the best interests of the children must also be considered. So, you know, this is not a rogue piece of legislation that might be introduced, and certainly does not allow for a slippery slope, as is being suggested. It's going to be a 2-year timeline. That's still a significant period of time. So I think we'll still be working within the realms of a conservative divorce regime that recognises the needs and rights of all the parties, and including the marital family and its ongoing importance in Irish society.
Dr. Louise Crowley, Senior Lecturer in Family Law at UCC, thanks very much for joining us on 90LFM. And I'd like to hear from you. 6797981 is our telephone number. Text or WhatsApp us 0877989898. This is a fairly important vote we are going to be taking part in on Friday, the divorce referendum, and to cut the time. And looking at the messages coming in, there's people on both sides of the argument, which is nice. It's nice to hear that there's a mix and that it's not a one-sided debate. Let me start off by going to Christy. Christy, you're very welcome along to 90LFM. How are you?
How you doing?
You would like things to stay the way they are. You would like to this cooling off period of 4 years to remain.
Yeah, I would like to say three things about it. And people haven't thought about this, you know, it's hardly been discussed. First of all, the 4 years was put there. Well, first of all, the no-fault divorce that was introduced was squeezed in by Sheila Bronco. You know, it was very close, the last referendum.
Yeah, it was under 10,000 votes. It was, but sure, that was 1995. Different times, Christy. It was a completely different Ireland in 1995.
Okay, so, but the 4 years was put there to give the wife and kids a gap to change schools and find alternative housing. You know, a quickie divorce, you know, as espoused here, will put families on the streets, particularly in the housing crisis situation. In the realm...
Well, sorry, first let me stop you there, Christy, because if you were listening to our conversation the last 10 minutes, there will not be quickie divorces. This idea that you'd be able to get married on a Friday and divorced on a Monday is not true.
That's an advocate.
Hang on, Christy. We're talking about an expected 2-year waiting period for a divorce. What would be wrong in your opinion? What would be wrong with a 2-year waiting period?
Well, there's two things wrong with what we're voting on. First of all, there's two issues connected together. You've no choice. You either will vote for the two of them. You can't separate them. But anyway, as I was saying there, in the round, what happens is that the wife and children, particularly if it's a reasonably honourable breakup, stay in the house. And that gave them 4 years. This would be turned down to 2, and, you know, that would be down to 1 because, you know, you'd have to vacate the house most likely a year before that. So it takes away that 4-year gap, particularly with the shortage of accommodation. So that's really bad for the woman and the children. What happens usually is the house is sold, they pay the mortgage, they split the balance. Your man goes off to South America with half the money, and the woman is left there with half the price of a house and nowhere to go.
So what? In a lot of separation cases, men feck off and leave the country? That's not true at all. I have several friends who are going through separations at the moment and have filed for divorce, and they are in limbo at the moment. They can't move on with their lives because they have to
wait. Tell me about it, kid. Listen, I went through it myself. You know, this is a populist move, you know.
So you are a divorcee, are you?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, so, and also they're linking this to one of the most profound changes into the status of marriage in Ireland. And that is that foreign divorces, that means that the lowest common denominator in the world, you know, for the value of marriage will be, you know, will be sound in Ireland. So in other words, you know, if you can get a divorce in LA, in Los Angeles, you know, it means that it's recognised here. That's the end of institutional marriage in Ireland. And people haven't thought about that.
Yeah, but Christy, a lot of people just aren't getting married nowadays anyway. Christy, a lot of people aren't getting married nowadays anyway. We're in a different... I mean, you're talking about the Ireland I hear you talking about is Ireland from the 80s and the 90s. We're in a different time. And we have to... You of all people know this as a divorcee. Marriages break down. That's a fact of life.
They do. But if there's family involved, you have to remember that, you know, somebody can go abroad now, and that means that you find the most, lowest common denominator of the value for marriage in any country in the world. And that means that Ireland's marriage will be equal to that. Now, people have...
By the way, Ireland is one of the lowest divorce rates in the world. So, you know, that is...
It's low enough at the moment, but if this thing is passed, people are being conned by this.
Stay there for a second there, Christy, please. 6797981 is our telephone number. He's made his feelings quite clear. He's going to vote no. He thinks things should be kept the way they are. Let me go to Ballyfermot and Liz. Liz, you disagree with Christy's points.
Yeah, I've always thought the 4-year deal was ridiculous anyway. I think 2 years is grand. And my issue was with the first caller that started off the campaign for the no when she was talking about...
Margaret Hickey, yeah.
Yeah, and kids involved. I don't see how forcing people to stay together is any better for children. Like, to me, a toxic relationship is not just a relationship that there's abuse in. You know, a toxic relationship can come about because two people just don't love each other anymore and are forced to stay together because of the circumstances in this crazy country where, like, which is the length of time it takes to get divorced as it is. My issue with the question is that it's a two-part question that can only be answered one way.
Yes.
I don't like the idea of the foreign divorce because I don't understand.
I know, unfortunately.
It seems like a contradiction to me.
Yeah, there are obviously two things that you're voting on, and it's just one question. That's why we decided to focus on the cooling off period, so as not to confuse
me. Years.
But you think the only people that are hurt from waiting 4 years are the children.
It can, yeah. Well, coming across from the way that, as you said, that Lady Margaret was talking, is that because of the family unit, we should leave it as it is and all. But I think leaving it that can be just as toxic for a child.
Well, let me put that to Christy. Sorry, you wanted to come back in there, Christy. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, actually, you see, this is another move, like in the abortion referendum. It's witchcraft politics.
What are you talking about, witchcraft politics?
What they're trying to pull a fast one on is if you make Irish marriage equal to the lowest value status of marriage in any other foreign country in the world, it means that the value the Irish people have put into marriage it just drops to the lowest common
denominator. Sorry, stop calling on about lowest common denominator, Christy. Do you, if hang
can't
on.
Even vote on it.
Christy, if a relationship breaks down, and, you know, there's something I do agree with you that I believe a lot of couples nowadays don't try hard enough to make a relationship work. But in a situation where, as Liz was saying, they just can't stand each other, they hate each other, they can't stand the sight of each other, you know, maybe he cheated, maybe she had an affair, whatever the case may be, where there's no chance of reconciliation here, you want to put them through the heartache of having to stay married to that person that they can't stand for 4 more years.
Not necessarily living with them, and that's only some.
They're still married, regardless of whether or not they're living together. They are still married. They are still husband and wife. Why would I want to be still married to my wife if she went and had an affair on me?
Well, for usually the man moves out, the wife and children stay in the house.
No. Answer that question, Christy. Answer that question for me. If my wife, God forbid, listen to me for a second. If my wife, God forbid, had an affair on me tomorrow, and I found out she'd been having an affair for the last 2 years. Why would I want to stay married to her for the next 4 years?
Well, first of all, to answer it simply, we have divorce. We have no fault divorce. So you can't.
No, you're not answering my question. Answer my question.
I'm trying to answer it.
No, you're not answering. You're going off on a tangent here. Why would I want to? Why should I have to stay married to my wife for 4 years if she's had an affair on me?
But listen, that's a loaded emotional question.
And I'm asking you for an answer on it. Because I think it's a relevant question to what we're voting
for.
You
have no children, you want to get divorced. You can get no fault divorce.
Okay, stay there for a second, Christy. Maybe you'll have the answer after the break. David and Pauline as well will come to you. 6797981 is our telephone number. Text or WhatsApp your comments to 0877 98 98 98. You can also send a WhatsApp voice note to that number. Let me go to David. Pauline first. Pauline, North County Dublin, you're on 98FM. How are you?
Hello.
You believe 4 years is way too long?
Oh my God, it's absurd. When there's lack of empathy, when there's no mutual empathy in a relationship, 4 years is like a life sentence. The point is, whether it's an abusive relationship or not, they set the bar far too high with the 4 years, you know? And it's usually, I mean, marriage has dropped. The marriage rates in this country have dropped dramatically.
Well, we have one of the lowest divorce and one of the lowest divorce rates in Europe. I'm just looking at it.
No, Jeremy. I mean, I'm talking about marriage in general.
Oh, so marriage.
Married,
well, yeah,
in church.
Less people are getting married in the church.
Our registry office marriages, they've dropped. People are, you know, the idea of this thing about marriage being sacred is a thing of the past.
Well, I don't believe that as well. A lot of people still, you try to get a church for a wedding in Dublin and you'd probably have a year's wait. So to suggest that, I mean, the churches are full with weddings every single weekend of the year. Now, it's...
Oh, yes, but Jeremy, the reason, and I've known this for years and I've heard it for years, the reason people want to get a church wedding is for the pomp and ceremony, not the religious significance. A church wedding is like in a church, you know, nicely set. It was very different to a church to a wedding in a hotel.
No, I agree with you. Okay, well, let's stick to the point of divorce. 4 years, you believe, is way too long.
Oh, absurd. It should be 2 at the most, I think. And that's what I'll be voting for Friday.
Well, do you not think, given that extra time, given that 4 years... No, I don't know. I don't have the stats to hand on whether or not people who have filed for divorce do end up getting back together. I would imagine it's quite slim, these cases of getting back together. You think to expect a couple who have decided that the relationship is over to stay together on paper, anyway, for 4 years is unfair?
It's unfair to most couples. It's just dragging out a dead horse, really. I think it's just absurd.
Okay, stay there for a second, please, Pauline. 6797981 if you want to get in on this. Text or WhatsApp your comments to 0877 98 98 98. Let's go to someone who has been separated for 5 years. David, you're on 98FM. How are you?
How you doing, Jeremy? How are you?
You're waiting for a divorce at the moment to come through.
Yeah, to be finalised.
Now, without going into the specific personal details of your relationship, your relationship obviously broke down, your marriage broke down. Nobody gets married with a view to thinking, oh, in the future, my marriage might break down. But you got married, it didn't work out. When did you separate?
It's 5 years now, coming up in the end of this month.
And you're still husband and wife?
Yeah, on paper, yeah.
How has that affected your mental health and her mental health? Do you feel like you're in limbo, that you can't move on?
Yeah, well, Yeah, me personally, it's affecting me because you're constantly going back and forth to solicitors. You're constantly looking for information to send off. You're filling out forms. You're doing this, you're doing that. You're waiting for her to reply on her side. She hadn't replied to anything, I think, at one stage in about 3 months. And my solicitors were sending letters to say, you know, we need to get a move on with this. And it's just, it's been dragged out and dragged out and dragged out.
And you, neither of you can move on with your lives while this is happening.
Well, I have. I've met someone. And I've sort of moved on.
And when you met that person, I'm always fascinated by this. You obviously told them your situation. Yeah. How were they with finding out that you're still married and that you will be still married for several more years?
It takes its toll on it. The odd time that it comes up in conversations if you have a little tiff or something and maybe when you get a letter and you're trying to fill out more forms or something, they're kind of like, oh, it's more forms. Oh, when is this going to end? And like, is it not at the end? How long is it going on now? And then it just kind of, you know, it puts a bit of strain on.
It must feel like a lifetime for both of you, to be honest with you. And I'm sure she feels the same way as well. You think a 2 year cooling off period, waiting period would have been better for both parties?
I think so. Yeah, I think it would be because it wouldn't take as much of a toll on people. I think, you know what I mean. You get things just over and done with that much quicker. And like other people were saying, if it was that bit toxic, which mine kind of was, well, on her behalf anyway. It'll just kind of bring things to an end that bit quicker, you know what I mean? And you can kind of move on then and kind of just say, right, that's grand, it's over and done with now, and let's just move on and get and everything is over and done with now. But with like 5 years now, it's ridiculous. Like,
and how many years are you living apart?
5 years. Like,
oh, you are living apart 5 years.
Yeah.
I would imagine it will come true by the end of this year, will it?
I'm hoping. It's waiting on court dates and stuff like that. So it could go into next year even. I don't know.
Thanks very much for joining us on the line, David. I'm sorry for cutting across you, but I'm way out of time. Let me read out this message. And it says, currently living in the same house in different bedrooms, which is what a lot of couples end up having to do because the marriage breaks down. You can't afford to move anywhere else. Anyway, I'm living in the same house in different bedrooms, but separated over a year. We're both good people, but not good together. A loveless marriage where parents begin to hate and resent each other is not a healthy environment for children. It is toxic beyond belief, says that person. Thank you very much for that text. I believe a 4 year cooling off period is just right, says this person. You can actually reconcile a relationship if you live apart for a certain amount of time. Myself and my friend did it. The marriage broke down. They moved into separate houses, realised that they could get on, and then got back together. That's why the 4 years is important, says that text message. Anyway, regardless of how you feel about the divorce referendum, just make sure you go out on Friday and vote. Thank you very much for all your calls, your comments and your texts. It's 98FM's Dublin Talks.
98FM's Dublin Talks with Des Kelly Interiors. New store now open at Belgard Road, Tallaght. 98FM.